we read in verse 10 tonight of 1 Peter chapter 3, for he that will love life and see good days. That's a verse that ought to fit every one of us. All of us ought to love life, and all of us should want to see good days. Some people have said, well, death is the last great adventure. And I always tell them when I hear that, no, it's not. That's not the last great adventure. Living this life is the last great adventure. Going to heaven is no adventure. I mean, eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things that God hath prepared for them that love him, And I'm not afraid of going to heaven. I mean, I'm looking forward to going to heaven. Heaven's going to be, I think heaven's a wonderful place. It's going to be a lot better than I ever expect it to be. I just know. But all of us should want to live, all of us should love life. That's what God wants us to do. That's what Jesus wanted us to do. He said, I've come to give you life and life more abundant. I want to give you eternal life, but I want to give you, and who was it that tested, Brother Straya talked about that guy that finally got saved. Said, boy, this Christian life is a good thing. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. It's a wonderful thing to be part of God's one of God's children. It's a wonderful thing, as Rebecca testified a moment ago, to have a God that hears and answers prayer and have people that pray for you. And say, and some of you might say, well, preacher, you don't know my life right now. And maybe I don't, but I know your God, and I know your God's in charge of your life, and I know your God doesn't let anything come into your life unless he has a good purpose for it. We may not understand it, but he has a reason, and he's working something in your life, and we ought to love the life that God has given us. And then we ought to want to see good days. I mean, if we had a choice, I'd rather see good days than bad days. Nobody wants to have a bad day. I mean, bad days will come. There'll be days when we have disappointments and heartaches and difficulties. But this Bible verse says here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, for he that will love life and see good days. If you want to love life, and if you want to see good days, there's some things that you need to do. And so my message tonight is seven ways to see good days. Seven ways to see good days. You see, I believe the Bible, one of the ways you can look at it is that it's a recipe book. It tells you God's recipes for certain things in your life. And if you want those things in your life, you need to follow the recipes. I mean, some people say, well, God's made this promise, and he's given us the recipe. I'll just change the recipe a little bit. If you're about to make banana pudding, you don't substitute grapes for bananas and pistachio pudding for the vanilla pudding and graham crackers for the wafers that you put in there. You may have something that's good, but you won't have banana pudding. If you want banana pudding, you got to follow the recipe. And if you want what God has promised us, and so in this verse he's saying, hey, if you want to love life, and we all ought to want to love life, and if you want to have good days, then there's some things that you need to do to get them. And so tonight, real simply, I want to give you those seven things, seven ways to see good days. The first one there is in verse 10. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let me just put this in my own words very succinctly. If you want to love life and see good days, do more listening than you do talking. Do more listening than you do talking. That word refrain means to control, and that word guile means deceit. And so if you want to love life and you want to see good days, then we need to control our tongue. We need to make sure that everything we say is truthful. We need to make sure that everything we say is not only truthful, but builds people up instead of tears people down. Most people do too much talking. I've always heard that God gave you two ears and one mouth. He expects you to listen twice as much as you talk. Some people has got it backwards. Some people the proportion is way off. But we ought to control what we say. We ought not to repeat things that ought not to be repeated. And again, my mom taught me, and she said, look, if you can't say something good about somebody, then don't say anything. You're not going to serve any purpose tearing people down. You need to build them up. And telling and using deceit, lies or half-lies. The Bible says, again, in this verse, if you want to see good days, don't use deceit. Don't tell lies about people. The book of James says that the tongue is a fire. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. A small word can make a difference in a person's life. You know, when we were kids, we learned that little, I don't know if it's a nursery rhyme or that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. I want to tell you, yes, words can hurt you. Words have sometimes a terrible hurt. And it's again, if you can't say something good, most of the time you're better off not saying it. And so God says, if you want to love life, and again, all of us should want to love life. And if you want to see good days in that life, then control your tongue, control what you say. Don't speak deceit. Always tell the truth. And again, if the truth is not going to build somebody up, then in most cases, it's best just to keep your mouth shut. All right, number two, in verse 11, let him eschew evil and do good, a positive and a negative. If you want to love life and you want to see good days, hate evil, despise evil, avoid evil, separate from evil, evil communications, evil places, evil friends. Just stay away from evil. Hate evil. And then the second part of that in verse 11 is do good. Do good. You want to love life? You want to see good days? Then just go out and do good for somebody. Find somebody to be kind to. Find somebody to do good for and just do it. I mean, call up a widow and take her out for lunch. Take a fruit basket to a shut-in. Visit the hospital. Visit the rest home. There's a lot of hurting people in this world that just need somebody to be kind to them. And God says, this verse says, the Bible says, look, if you want to love life, then hate evil and do good. Just go out and find somebody that's hurting and love on them a little bit. Do good to them. And again, it'll do more for you than it'll do for them. I've never gone to visit somebody in the hospital or the rest home that I haven't come away feeling better myself than they probably did when I left. I mean, they were still in the hospital, so I know I felt better than they did. But that's the way God works. If you want to love life and you want to see good days, hate evil and do good. Number three. The last part of verse 11. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Work for peace. As much as in you, be at peace with all men. As much as possible in you, don't have anybody. Don't have enemies. I mean, just be at peace with all men. There may be somebody in your life that doesn't appreciate you. Be at peace with them. There may be somebody in your life that hates you. Well, love them and be at peace with them. Maybe somebody that has despitefully used you. Well, the Bible says we're supposed to pray for them. It takes two to fight. It always takes two to fight. Never be the second person. Never be the second person. If somebody wants to fight, let them fight. You know the best way you can defuse a fight? Just refuse to fight. Just refuse to fight. And so, and then be a peacemaker. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, one of the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. A peacemaker between man and God. Somebody that shares the gospel. Somebody that tells somebody else, you want to have peace with God? Here's how you can have it. Like LaWanda testified a moment ago, and Bill and Mary knows the person that has the booth. You want to have peace with God? You want to know that you're on your way to heaven? You know, it's not getting baptized. It's asking Jesus to be your Savior. And a peacemaker between man and God is one that goes and shares that gospel with other people. And so it says there, let him seek peace. Seek peace between man and God. And then seek peace between man and man. And I'm not just talking about you and somebody else. There's a lot of Christians that could do a lot to have peace between two other people if sometimes they would just say the right word at the right time. You have an influence on other people. And there may be two people that are fussing with one another. There may be two people that are warring with one another. And it might be only a word from you that would bring peace into that relationship. Sometimes it just takes a fresh perspective. Sometimes it just takes an outsider, so to speak, to bring peace to a situation. And so, again, if you want to love life, and all of us should, I mean, that's what Jesus wants us to do, to love life. And you want to see good days. And again, all of us would want to see good days rather than bad days. Then, again, seek peace and ensue it. All right, number four. Now we're going to go to chapter 4 and verse 11, where the Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Now, you want to love life, you want to see good days. When you speak, when you talk, mix into your speech and mix into your talk the oracles of God. Say, preacher, what's the oracles of God? It's Bible terms and Bible statements and Bible verses. The book of Proverbs is an oracle of God. The book of Psalms is an oracle of God. John 3:16 is an oracle of God. Romans 8:28 is an oracle of God. You want to love life? You want to see good days? When you speak, know your Bible well enough. Spend time every day in your Bible, so that when you talk in the normal course of conversation, without even consciously thinking about it, sprinkled in your speech is the Word of God. Is the Word of God. And again, this is only going to happen if you spend time reading it, if you spend time studying it, if you spend time memorizing it. And as we talked in Sunday school this morning, as it becomes the center point of your life, when the Word of God becomes that, then when you speak, again, without a conscious effort, without thinking about it, the Bible becomes part of your normal conversation. It just does. I mean, we ought to be so familiar with it, we ought to memorize it, then that when we speak, we can't stop it. It just comes out in our speech. We ought to say praise the Lord so much in private that sometimes it just pops out in public. We ought to say hallelujah so much in private that sometimes when we're out in public and we don't even think about it consciously, we just say hallelujah. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong for a child of God to praise God. I mean, we live in a day that it seems like profanity is everywhere. It seems like people take the name of the Lord in vain so much. What's wrong with us Christians going on the offensive and say, if they're going to cuss and they're going to use the name of my Savior in vain, then I'm going to praise him just as much in public as they do curse him in public. I'm going to lift up his name just as much in public. And again, we ought to get to the point where we do it without thinking about it. I mean, when we hear somebody cuss, it ought to just be a natural reaction. We go to them and say, "You're talking about my Savior. I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't do it in my presence. You're talking about my friend. You're talking about the one that died for my sins and, by the way, died for your sins as well." If any man speak, let him speak of the oracles of God. Number 5, again, from that same verse, chapter 4, verse 11, if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Okay? And so, you want to love life? You want to see good days? Then serve God with the abilities that he's given you. Serve God with the talents that he's giving you. We're all ministers. We all minister to other people through Jesus Christ. And what this verse is saying is, take what God has given you, the gifts that God has given you, the abilities that God has given you, the talents that God has given you, and use those as instruments as you minister or help other people. Brother Wayne does that when he plays the clarinet for us. The pianist and the organist do that when they play for us. The choir does that when they sing. The people that clean the church do that on Thursday and Friday whenever they clean. Everybody that does something in this place has been given a talent or an ability by God. And the Bible says, hey, you want to love life? You want to see good days? Then use what God has given you to minister, to serve somebody else and help them. Number 6, from chapter 4, verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Paul said in the first chapter of Romans, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The world hated Paul. Paul suffered because he was a preacher of Jesus Christ. You go back and you read in 2 Corinthians all the trials and the tribulations that Paul went through because he shared the gospel. Wherever he went, whoever he was in front of, he shared the gospel. And he paid the price for that. But he said, I'm not going to be ashamed of it. I'm going to preach it every time I get an opportunity. I'm going to share it regardless of who I'm standing before. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and neither should we be. You want to love life? I recall a testimony that Gene and Straya gave a few weeks ago about being in a place when they were passing out Bibles. I think it was after fair. Straya was in the tent. Gene was sitting over at the bench. And kids would come by and said, hey, Gene would say, hey, you want some candy? Go see that lady in that tent right there. She'll give you a candy. She'll also give you a Bible. She'll also tell you about Jesus. They had fun doing that. They enjoyed life that day doing that. They had a good day that day doing that. And they weren't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And again, we're going to suffer. There's going to come a day when we will suffer for sharing the gospel. People around the world are already doing it. I read something yesterday, I think it was, and I can't even remember where it was. 6,000 women and children were slaughtered by this Muslim group because they were Christians. And it was over a period of like 4 months. And I can't remember where it was. 6,000 women and children. 6,000 killed because they were Christian. Killed and slaughtered because they put their faith in Jesus Christ. I dare say that none of them were ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then number 7, the last part of verse 16, But let him glorify God on this behalf. When you're suffering, if any man suffer, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Every time we suffer, every time we have a heartache, every time we have a disappointment in our life, you want to enjoy life? You want to see good days? Then glorify God. Praise God. As you do that, what you're saying is, I know God loves me. I know God knows more about me than I do. I know God knows more about what I need than I do. And I know that God has allowed this to come into my life for a reason. I wouldn't choose it. I wouldn't pick it. God has chosen it for me. He's picked it for me, and he's allowed this to come into my life. And he has a purpose for it. So I'm going to glorify him. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to thank him, even though I don't understand it. I trust him enough to know that he knows what he's doing. You want to love life? All of us should. You want to see good days? Then control your tongue. Hate evil, do good. Seek peace and ensue it. Speak with the oracles of God. Minister with the abilities God has given you. When you suffer, don't be ashamed, but glorify God. And these verses promise that if we'll do those things, those seven things, we can see good days. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight, for your word, for the promises that are in it, for the recipes that are in it. Help us to understand that, you know, if we want the result, we got to follow the recipe. If we want the promise, if we want you to keep the promise, then we got to do what you say. And I pray that you'll help us do that tonight. I pray that we'll love life. I pray that we'll have good days. And if we do these things, regardless of the circumstances in our life, every day will be a good day. Because it'll be a day that you've made, a day that you control, a day that you decide what comes into our life and what doesn't. And Father, we love you and we praise you for being that kind of God. I pray if there is somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ, first thing they need to do to love life and to see good days is to come to Jesus. To admit that they're a sinner and there's the penalty for that sin and there's nothing they can do on their own to pay for it, but that Jesus paid it all when he went to Calvary. And so if there's just one that's never received Christ, tonight help them to come and make that decision. We'll take the Bible and show them from the Bible what it is to ask Jesus to be their Savior, but help them to come tonight. Speak to our hearts as Christians. Do in our lives tonight what you intend to do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.